Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, and welcome to the Fly Girl Show. I am your host, Casey Grant, and we have a wonderful show today from and with a very good friend of mine, Gigi Coleman. As my audience knows, we are on every Wednesday at 11 to 12, and we talk about all different topics. And today should be very interesting because Gigi Coleman is the great niece of Betsy Coleman, who was the first African-American woman to gain her pilot's license. And she's always been a hero of mine, and I am so honored to meet Gigi, to become friends with Gigi. And in the future, we're going to be doing some things together. So let me introduce you to my fantastic guest, and so we can learn a little bit more about what it was like to be the great niece of our hero, one of my number one heroes. So good morning, Gigi. How are you today?
Fine. Good morning. Thank you so much, Ms. Grant, for having me on your show.
Oh, it is truly my honor. It is really my honor. And I'm Ms. Grant now today, huh? I'm Casey any other day.
Yes, Casey.
My audience is not that formal, so we don't have to be that formal today. This is going to be relaxed, and we're just going to sit back and enjoy all your wonderful stories. So give me a little history about you, the things that you are. You're from Chicago. You live in Chicago, right?
Yes, I live in Chicago. I'm the great niece of Bessie Coleman. My mother was the late Miss Marion Coleman, and she was Aunt Bessie's niece. And she was instrumental in getting the postage stamp for Bessie Coleman. She petitioned. She worked at the United States Post Office, and she petitioned her friends and different people. She wrote letters to the Postmaster General and Washington, D.C., the presidents, and she was able to get a stamp in my Aunt Bessie's honor.
So, well, you know, there should not have been any hesitation in that, because Bessie Coleman, for the audience, and her story is in my book, Stars in the Sky. But for those who don't know, if you would like to give them a little history about her trials and tribulations of getting her pilot's license. So let's just start from the very beginning on that.
Okay, well, Bessie Coleman, she was born in Wachahatchee, Texas. She was out of 13 children, she was the 10th child. And at a young age, she was very smart. She loved mathematics, and she was good in science and reading. She loved to read books. She was an avid reader, even at an early age, because her mother, Georgia, Susan Coleman, she couldn't read. So Susan, when the traveling book wagon would come into town, she would make sure that Bessie would get plenty of books, and she would read to her mother and other brothers and sisters. So at an early age, like I said, she was very intelligent, very knowledgeable, and wanted to learn. So she went to school, and at an early age, she finished school. She was able to go to agricultural school, college, and she was so excited about that. But, you know, back in those days, they didn't have, like, student loans and different things like that. And her mom, Susan, they didn't have any much money because they, you know, picked cotton. And her mother worked for Mr. and Mrs. Edward Jones as a housekeeper and things. And so Bessie, she, you know, had to leave school. So she decided that she wanted to do something else, but she didn't know what. So she moved from Wachahatchee to Chicago. Now, Aunt Bessie's father, he was half Cherokee Indian, but he couldn't take the prejudices and racism that they had in Wachahatchee. So he left, and he went to Indian Territory. So Aunt Bessie's mother decided to stay there and raise her kids the best of her ability. But by then, like I said, Aunt Bessie decided that she wanted to leave Wachahatchee and go to Chicago. Now, in Chicago, her brother Walter and Johnny lived there. And Walter, he was a Pullman porter. And at that time, it was a very prestigious job. And Johnny, well, he worked for Al Capone as a cook. So it was really
Oh, that was interesting. Wow.
Yeah. So Aunt Bessie, she got here. She was determined to find a job. So she got a job as a manicure at the White Sox Barber Shop, which was located on the Stroll, which is a prominent street. It was like around 47th and Lake Park, Indiana. And that's where she met a lot of people. So she met Mr. Robert Abbott. He was the editor and the chief editor of the Chicago Defender newspaper. And he was like a mentor to her, and she could talk to him about her aspirations, what she wanted to do. And around that time, she had been in Chicago about 5 years, and her brothers, Walter and Johnny, had to go over to the war. And when they came back, they started teasing Bessie about the women over there in France and Europe, you know, how they had careers. And they were doing things, you know. He said they even flying airplanes. And Aunt Bessie, she was like, airplanes? See, that's what I want to do. I want to fly airplanes. I want to be an aviatrix. And so, Lord and behold, she talked to Mr. Abbott. And, you know, she had a little, she was a little entrepreneur anyway. She had a chili parlor that she ran and managed. And as well as doing nails and things. And so Mr. Abbott said, well, you never let nothing else stop you, Bessie, from doing anything. So if that's what you want to do, go for it. So she tried to enroll in various aviation schools here in Chicago. And they wouldn't accept her because she was a woman and that she was black. They said that, you know, hey, you need to be home taking care of some babies, taking care of a man. Up here trying to talk about flying some airplanes. You know how it was back then.
Well, and for a young woman like that to have such high dreams and the imagination, that alone just shows what type of a personality she had. Now, we're talking in around 1926 or 32, right?
Right. We're talking around, around 1921. Right. And that's when she came to Chicago and she worked. And, around those days, who would thought that a young black woman would even think about something like this? Because women really, even white women in America, wasn't doing anything like this.
Exactly.
So it was something. A little colored, beautiful colored woman to think of something like this.
Exactly. And she was.
So it was something. So what she did was she tried to enroll. They wouldn't accept her. So she came back and talked to Mr. Abbott. And he said, well, Bessie, you never let nothing stop you. So you going to let this stop you? He said, why don't you just go over to France and get your pilot license? And Lord and behold, that's what she decided to do. So she enrolled into school on Michigan Avenue, and she learned French. And in 1920, she received her passport. It was in English and French. And in 1921, she went over to France by the Lacroix Brothers School of Aviation, and she got her international pilot license from the FAI, which is the Fédération Aéronautique Internationale, which is renowned throughout the whole world. And she learned from William Faulkner. He took her over. You know, he was the one who designed planes. And he took her over to Germany, and she learned how planes were built. She flew the big airplanes over there. And she was known as Queen Bess. You know, they just raved about her over in Paris and Europe.
Exactly.
It was something. But she's decided that she wanted to come back to the States. You know, she missed her family. You know, she was family-orientated. She believed in Christ, God, you know, God-fearing person, because religion was all built in the Coleman family. And she came back, and Mr. Abbott had a big spread in the newspaper. Queen Bess, first African-American woman to receive an international pilot license in 1921. And she did exhibitions. And she figured that was a way to earn money, because what she wanted to do was open up an aviation school where she could teach her people, African-Americans, and really anybody, but especially African-Americans, who wanted to learn how to fly airplanes, she would teach them, since she had such a hard fought in trying to get her pilot license. So she did these exhibitions. Her first air show was in Los Angeles. And the second one was at Checkerboard Field, which is now known as Midway Airport in Chicago. She did one at the Hudson Auto Racetrack, various places, you know. And she had raised up enough money where she was able to finally get her a little airplane, a little Jenny biplane. And back in those days, you know, it was something, you know, for a woman to have an airplane, especially a black woman. It wasn't the best airplane, but it was something where that she could, you know, start her aviation school. Because like her grandmother always said, you got to crawl before you can walk. And so,
exactly.
You know, that's what she did.
Well, let's get back to some of the Chicago Defender, which, for my audience, the Chicago Defender is one of the oldest newspapers in the country, and for them to have covered a story on her. But just the financing alone, that I wonder how much. Do you have any idea how much it cost for her to go? And then let me add on to that. What an adventure! I mean, you're from Chicago and you go to France. This is 2016. And that would be really a great undertaking for me. And I've traveled, I flew for 35 years. But to pack up and move, and she wasn't fluent in French. She had learned, but she still, I'm sure that was a process, obviously, to become completely fluent for years. But and then to learn how to fly in French.
Yes. Yes. Well, you know, she had to take this, a boat over to France. You know, they didn't.
Okay.
She didn't fly. She took a boat, and when she got there, the school that said they were going to accept her, they decided they didn't want to accept her. So she found the Credon brothers, and she had to walk. When she was young, at the age of five, going to school, she had to walk 3 miles to school. So for the Credon brothers, where her hotel was, where she was staying in France, she had to walk like 4 miles, but it was different kilometers and things there. But it was still a long distance. And that's where she did, and that's where she had to go, and that's where they accepted her. And she said that, you know, when she was flying, you know, they learned to fly on the beach. It was a long, sandy, white beach where they learned to fly. It was great for landings and takeoffs. But a lot of her fellow classmates did perish during flight school training there, you know, because planes were made of wood and rope. They weren't made like, you know, the planes now, the 747s, you know, steel and inside. Everything was an open cockpit. So it was a dangerous thing. And out of the 10 candidates that was in her class, she was the only female, and she ranked number one in all her education and learning. It was just something. It was something.
Oh, I'm
just
amazed.
Coming from the background that she came.
Absolutely, and that's the thing when I was doing my research and learning all about it. I mean, I read everything with a big smile on my face and such pride in my heart to read that, because it just took such fortitude for someone to even dream about flying and then to leave Chicago, the comfort of family, and to go over to Europe and take on this all alone. And as we know, just from history, you know, blacks were received a lot more graciously in Europe than they were And I'm sure that she found some difficulties in racism, not like it was in America. But
She did. And I meant to say, Casey, I'm sorry, I said 10. It was 62 candidates that were in her class, and she was the only woman. And the class was a 10-month class, but Aunt Bessie finished the class in 6 months.
She was very intelligent.
Yes, very smart.
Very intelligent and determined. I mean, because along with being intelligent, you have to have that determination. And she had to pursue her dream, which is what she did. She pursued that dream. Well, I bet her brothers didn't tease her after that, did they?
No, they didn't. And when she came back, her sister, my grandmother, Georgia, she used to want to wear all her beautiful gowns and things that she had made over there in Paris, you know, because she used to, you know, party out and be with all the different movie stars and actresses. And it was just something. Billie Holiday, all those. It was just glamorous being over there because, yes, it was racism and prejudice over there as well, but over there they appreciated your talent, your attributions, what you could give to society. You know, they didn't care about, you know, back in the States.
Exactly. You weren't judged by your color, as Martin Luther King said, but your content.
Right. Now, you like her first air show. Her character. Now, her first air show was at Curtis Field in New York. That was in 1922. And her show symbolized courage and hope for the African-American in the field of aviation. Because Aunt Bessie believed flying an airplane was much safer than, she said, driving an automobile.
Oh, my goodness. But that's really hard for all of us to fathom, because it only takes one mistake. Well, I guess it's the same thing in a car, though, but the cars weren't going that fast back then.
Right.
Yes, and we will get to her demise later, because that was really a very tragic and actually could have been, you know, it could have been prevented, but we'll get to that in a little bit. But I just want to get to some more of the facts about Bessie. So she came back home to America, and at that point she used to do different acts, which was called barnstorming.
Is that? Yes, that's what it was called. Mm-hmm.
And explain that to the audience, what barnstorming is.
Okay, barnstorming is like, you know, when you go to the movie theater, it used to be outdoor movie theater. Well, this was their form of entertainment for people back in those days. And Aunt Bessie, what she would do is she would have these air shows where she would perform, and she would fly the airplane. She would do her loop-de-loops and her figure eights and her tail spins. And she would also parachute jump out the plane.
Uh-huh.
And she would wing walk, which means she would walk on the outside of the plane while the plane was up in the air. She was called a daredevil.
Oh,
and
I would call her a double.
And she wouldn't perform unless the blacks and whites could come in the same gate. Now, because of the stupid Jim Crow laws back in those days, separate but equal, once they got in the gate, they would have, the blacks would have to sit on one side, and the whites would have to sit on the other. But it was really something. And my cousin.
Oh, I am so sorry.
That's all right. My cousin Arthur, he would tell people, that's my auntie. That was my mother's cousin. And people wouldn't even believe that, you know, he had an auntie that flew airplanes.
My mom would go to all Aunt Bessie's shows, because
Aunt Bessie kind of kept my mother, because my grandmother, you know, she was kind of doing her thing in life, and so Aunt Bessie kind of helped raise my mother.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, you weren't even thought of back then. Or do you remember any of the telling? You remember the family telling stories about Aunt Betsy then, of course.
Right. And my grandmother, because, you know, my grandmother lived with me and my mother. So my grandmother, she would tell the story of Aunt Betsy when she was alive. And I, at that time, I was in, like, high school, grade school. I went to Aquinas High School. And I remember Jerry Taft from Channel 7 News, he would come and he would interview my grandmother, and other news media would come to the house. And I at that time, I still didn't understand. You know, I'm like, okay. But I was young, so I didn't understand, you know, the significance and why people were there. And where I went to school, a lot of the it was all girls Catholic school, and a lot of the prominent black kids went there, like Lerone Bennett, the Bennett twins, Cecile Partee. These people were all prominent. Pam Rayner, her father, family owned the Rayner Funeral Home. I went there, too. I didn't know I was a prominent person either.
Well, I tell you, when I first met you, I got chills because you were the closest to such an important person. I mean, you're blood. And Betsy has gone on, and her legacy will live forever. But to have a real relative still walking, I think it's very important and needs to be recognized. And the inside stories that you can share to all of us is very important, because when heroes are gone, if people don't remember or to tell us the stories, and the legacy will continue to live because of people, because of you, because of a relative. Now, yes. We have a couple of people on hold, I think, that may want to ask you a question. So let me bring someone in and see what they would like to talk to you. So hold on 1 second, Gigi.
Okay.
Good morning. Welcome to the Fly Girl Show. Who am I speaking to? Okay. That person did not answer. Let's try one more. Good morning. Okay. All right. We're having some technical difficulty at the moment, but we're going to move on with your interview. So give us some more insight on this wonderful. I'm just amazed for someone to go to Paris. And she was all about, 20? What was she was in her 20s?
Right. She 20 was in what? 23, 24.
That's what I thought. Now, did she get married?
No. She never got married. I think she had a couple of boyfriends. I remember my mother saying that, you know, a lot of men were after Aunt Betsy, you know, when she was living. But Aunt Betsy was really a beautiful woman. And she could have passed for white, but Aunt Betsy never did.
Yes. No, she was a beautiful woman.
Yeah. So a lot of men were after Aunt Betsy.
Oh, my goodness. My goodness.
She always kept her character.
I'm sorry.
She always kept her character.
And that was so important. Well, she was proud of who she was.
Yes. And that's what I try to tell young women now. You know, you have to keep your character and your, you know, your modesty about yourself and your body and things. It's just so much, you know. It's all the way people perceive you is how you carry yourself as a young lady. You know,
it's so important.
It's so important. And people nowadays, they don't realize it, but it really is, because what you do in the past, it always catches up with you in the future. So whatever you think you're getting away with, you're not getting away with it, because it always seems to come up.
It comes to light. So give us the story of the tragic ending of Betsy Coleman's life.
Well, when her she was finna do her last air show in Florida, because she had took a little break. You know, she went to Florida, and she joined the Missionary Baptist Church there, Mount Zion Missionary Baptist Church, with the Reverend Keith Hill and his wife Viola. And she accepted Christ again as a personal savior. But, you know, she missed flying and she wanted to get back on her feet. She also opened up a beauty school there in Florida as well. But she wanted to get back flying. So what she did, she told Will, who was her mechanic, to go get her plane. She had found, you know, got enough money, because a lot of people helped her, you know, with money back then. And one of the guys that helped her, his name was Jesse Bingham. He was started off as a Pullman porter. He went into real estate, and then he ended up owning his own bank called the Jesse Bingham Bank, the first black bank. So he was able to help Aunt Bessie, and she got her, like I said, her little Jenny, and Will brought it up to her to do her show, which was going to be in Florida and Jacksonville. And so the day before her show, she always wanted to go up and, you know, go up and see exactly where she was going to do her jumps and where the crowd was going to be sitting and just test pilot the plane. So Will took her up, and he had told her, you know, he didn't know how the plane even, how he even got the plane from Texas to Florida, Jacksonville, because it was stalling and stopping and the engine was acting sounding. But she said, well, you know, we'll get things fixed, but let's just do this now. So when they got up in the plane started doing just what Will was saying, stalling and stopping. And she was looking over to see where she was going to do, you know, her parachute jump, her jump. And the plane just took a nosedive. And she fell to her death. I think it was like 10,000 feet to her death.
Oh, wow.
And Will, he was in the plane, and the plane crashed with him in there, but he was alive. But her manager, they said, got nervous and lit a cigarette, and the plane ignited, and it went up and down with Will in there, and he died as well.
Is that right? Now, see, that all my research, I never read that story. I know how she fell out of the plane, and it just simply said that the plane crashed, but, oh, that's awful.
That's awful. It's really sad. And so they had a memorial service for her in Jacksonville, you know, at her church. And they said like 5,000 people were there, because there in Florida, where she was at, that was the first black settlement for black to come. So it was a small amount of blacks there. And then they put her body on the train and brought her back to Chicago. And they had service at her mother's church, Susan, Pilgrim Baptist Church. And they said over 10,000 people came to view her body. So it was really something. And her mother, you know, interviewed my great grandma. And they said that she said, well, Aunt Bessie did what she loved, flying. And that's what she wanted to do, you know. But they buried her at Lincoln Cemetery, and that's where she is, and it's in Ossip, Illinois. And my grandma,
right
there now, my mother and my grandmother, they all there with Aunt Bessie at Lincoln.
So they're all in the same cemetery?
Yeah. We just buried my mother about a year ago. Yeah, but my mom was just like Aunt Bessie. She was determined. She was a determined person. She talked with the mayor, and she talked to various dignitaries, and that's why we got a street named after Aunt Bessie. Old Mannheim Road that's the name it used to be, and now it's called Bessie Coleman Drive, and you can see it when you go into O'Hare Airport.
Absolutely.
We have a library. We have a park. So I'm very proud of my mother.
And where's the park located?
It's on 54th and Ellis.
Okay. In Chicago.
Yes, in Chicago.
Wow. Oh, what an interesting life. What an interesting person. And definitely, as I said to you, my hero. because I started flying and was among the first of African American flight attendants, as you know, and I'm sure as my audience knows, for Delta Airlines. And so breaking that color barrier those many years later in aviation was still a challenge. And we did it, and we're still here, and we now have female pilots because Delta has a few female captains with the airlines and as well as other airlines. But it's just an adventure. And when you have that flying in your soul and in your spirit, Betsy was absolutely right, it's there forever. And one of the quotes that I have in my book is she said that was the freest she ever felt is when she was flying, because at that point there's no prejudices up there in the sky.
Yeah, yeah, no prejudice.
So now why are you? Okay,
yeah, I'm trying to encourage my sons to go into aviation, John and Gerard Cooper. You know, the field is wide open. I'm trying to get them to, like, Gerard, he wants to be criminal justice. I said, oh, Gerard, you could be an air marshal. And John, I'm trying to get him to do air traffic control, because it's just, oh, it's, the field is just so wide open, and you can make such a good living being into aviation, going
and
into the field of aviation.
Exactly. And with that, I want you to tell us about your organization. But that is one of the things that I do when I have my book signings or I'm speaking to the kids in school, and to say it's not just a pilot. It's just not a flight attendant. There's so many wonderful fields in aviation to be researched and so many wonderful scholarships that aren't even claimed every year because people do not think about it. And I really don't understand. I mean, we have Mae Jemison, who was our first black female astronaut. And so you can go as high as past the clouds. And we need to do something that's going to pique their interest, because it is such a fascinating field to be in. And so with that being said, tell the audience about your organization and as the Betsy Coleman All-Stars. Is that correct?
Yes, I have an aviation program, which was started by myself in 2013. My husband, David Quinn, he was saying, you know, hey, why don't you do an aviation program? You're the great niece of Betsy Coleman. See what happens. So I said, okay. So I did a proposal for After School Matters, and I was accepted. So I started my little aviation program in 2013 called the Betsy Coleman Aviation All-Stars, and it's out of Gwendolyn Brooks High School. And the high school is a college prep high school, and most of the students there are interested in science and math, and they have to really have good grades to attend there. And it's a very prominent school on the city south side. And the students are between the ages of 14 and 18. And my students, what I try to do is challenge their mind and tell them about the various careers that they can go into in aviation. Mr. Derek Henry and Mr. William Cummings, they work with me. They're on my staff, and they're the actual aviation instructors. And they teach the kids how to fly a flight simulator and the various operations of an airplane. And just this semester, we also learned how to shoot rockets off. They actually built rockets and designed them, and we let them launch. So it was really exciting for the kids. We go on various field trips. We've been to O'Hare Airport. We've been to DuPage County, where they learned to go up in the air traffic control tower and just see hands-on experience. We went to SIU, where we were the first largest African-American group to ever go to take this tour that they have for kids who are interested in aviation, and they got hands-on experience there. We've been to Lewis University, where they've got hands-on experience, where they actually, and in both at Lewis University and SIU, that kids actually flown airplanes. Also, we work with the Dodo chapter, Ken Rapier, at the Gary Airport, which is now called the B. Coleman Aviation Hangar, and the kids fly the second week of every month. And my kids got to go up in the plane with them and actually fly airplanes.
That is a fantastic organization. I'm proud of you for developing that. That is wonderful. How do children or young adults find out about your program?
Okay, well, they can go on the website, afterschoolmatters.org, and they can look up my program called the Bessie Coleman Aviation All-Stars. And if they go to the school, like Gwendolyn Brooks, they can apply to get in the program. I'm trying to work out something with After School Matters where I may be able to get another school, but I'm also trying to work on my own to try to develop a private aviation program where anybody who wants to learn, teenagers who want to learn how to fly airplanes or be exposed to aviation can do. So I'm in the process of trying to get grants from various airlines and like United and Boeing and different places to see if they can help me start up my own own private aviation program. I'm trying to work with the Gary Public Schools to try to get something implemented there, and also I talked to the school districts in Wisconsin to see if I could kind of work something out with the schools there as well.
Oh, well, good luck in that endeavor. I think it's a worthwhile one, and I wish you much success on that. I think it's I would like to be a part of it. So is anything you need me to do?
Well, you have. You have came. I've had guest speakers come out and talk to my students about various careers, and you were one of the guest speakers, and the kids were just, oh, the way you started off, everyone buckled up your, well, how did you say it, Ms. Case?
Oh, I can't give my trick away for those who might come. I want that to be the surprise of how I do my opening, but I do get their attention, and that is for sure. And they, those little eyes were really on me.
It was very nice. So I do have guest speakers talk to the kids, and they get hands-on experience, and actually they pass out their emails, their business cards. I have scholarships for kids. I always talk to various people who are willing to let me know about various scholarships. They got the ACE program scholarships. They got the air traffic control scholarships. So anyone who's interested, you know, they can call me or email me, and whatever I can do to help enhance our youth to learn about aviation, I'm here for them.
Exactly. And we also are trying to get some of Betsy Coleman's items in the new Black Museum in Washington, D.C. Is that correct?
Yes, I'm trying to do that as well. Also, what I do, I tell Aunt Betsy's story. I dress up in character, and I tell her story because so many people don't know, still don't know who Bessie Coleman is and what her contribution was in the field of aviation. Everyone knows about Amelia Earhart, but they don't know about Bessie Coleman. And Bessie Coleman was 2 years before Amelia Earhart when she got her international pilot license. Bessie Coleman did stunts. Amelia Earhart just flew, which is nothing wrong with that. She's still a pioneer. But it's like, okay, we know about Amelia. We have a movie about Amelia. We had a movie about Red Tails. We need to get a movie out here so people, our young people, can hear about Bessie Coleman. And if Aunt Bessie could do it in the 1920s, the door is wide open for us now. We can do whatever we want to in life and do something positive. Turn this negativity around to something positive.
Well, I tell you, I'm going to stand on the corner and hold my banner for the movie because I agree with you. Tuskegee Airmen, they went many, many years without being recognized. And I'm so happy for those who are history buffs. You know, I've learned, I've gotten more into history. The older you get, you realize how important it is. My brother has been an avid history person forever. But for the Tuskegee Airmen's movie to finally be made and bring their recognition, I'm really happy and thank God for that. And so now the push must be on for Betsy Coleman, because you're right, that is the very first one. She was our pioneer. She has been my hero ever since I discovered her. And I felt such pride when I did go. There's a ceremony every year in Chicago. Tell us about the flyover. And Betsy Coleman at that point is one of the people they honor.
Right. They honor Betsy Coleman, Janet Braggs, and Willa Brown. On April, usually it's April 30th at Lincoln Cemetery. It used to just be Betsy Coleman, where they would fly over her grave and they would drop flowers. And I would run and pick them up when I was little. And since then, my boys would pick them up. And now, you know, they don't drop the flowers. We just toss balloons up in the air. Everyone gets a balloon and it goes up in the air where the pilots can see. And they do a maneuver. Figuration in honor of those three great women. And like I say with the movie, Betsy Coleman, she was an inspiration and a pioneer for all flyers. She started out being the first, and she inspired like the Five Blackbirds, the Flying Hobos, James Banning, Thomas Allen, the Tuskegee Airmen, Cornelius Coffey, John Robinson, Janet Hurd, Harold Hurd, Janet Hartman, all these pioneers. So, you know, true, they made the movie about the Tuskegee Airmen, but it wouldn't have been a Tuskegee Airmen if it hadn't have been a Betsy Coleman.
Thank you. Thank you. That is so true, and the importance of it. And I'm glad, Miss Great Niece, I am so glad that you do that. You are doing this and find the determination. And we'll be in Hollywood one day. Well, I'll be with you. You're not gonna dump me. I'm gonna be right there with you on the red carpet when they have the premiere of this movie. And I tell you, we need to. It's something that is so important that needs to be recognized in the Black aviation history. It's very important.
Right. And like Chauncey Spencer, he's been very instrumental in helping me. And, you know, his father, 1939, he flew with Dale White from Chicago to Washington, D.C., and he wanted equality in aviation as well. He spoke to the senator at the time, Harriet Truman, and when he saw the rinky-dinky plane that they came in, he said, oh, yeah, it should be equality for blacks in aviation. Just to let you know, I will be performing in February. That's my big month, February and March, Black History and Women's Month, at the Sweet Holy Spirit Church on February 16th at 7 o'clock. And then I'll be at the Department of Aging on February 25th performing, and that's at 12. So I'm going to be, you know, doing some showcases, and I'm trying to get Miss Casey to come out as well with me. And I do have various performers so she can tell her story. And I am in the process of writing a little book.
Oh, you are writing a book. Now, is this about Betsy Coleman, your experience, or how is this, what type of format is your book?
Well, the book is going to be called What My Mama Told Me About My Aunt Betsy. And basically, my mom told me about Betsy Coleman and some of the things my grandmother told, and then my experiences as well.
Perfect.
A lot of pictures about Betsy, about pictures with Aunt Betsy, pictures of my mother, and all the different things that she did, you know, her ceremony at the hangar when they did the postage stamp for her, and different places where she talked. Because, you know, my mother, she would, out of her own pocket, she would do, like, essay contests to get Betsy Coleman known at the schools and at the church. And the Catholic church where we went to church, St. Clair, St. Cyril's, which is, they're fixing to demolish because of a fire where I grew up at, they worked with my mother. And also the DeSalvo Museum, she worked closely there with Margaret Burroughs and Harold Washington's brother, Ramon Price. And they all kind of helped my mother, you know, with her endeavors and things of that nature.
Well, our prayers are with you, as well as any encouragement and any help that we can have or that I can do. You know, all you have to do is call me, because I do believe in your endeavor. I think it's a very important one, and I'm so proud that you're doing it. I'm glad for your husband to encourage you, because I just met him and have just talked to him, but I tell you, he's a rah-rah person, boy. He would stand behind you and get you inspired and give you some direction. So I know you've got that great support in your household.
Yes, I do, and I'm very happy to have him. And I have great friends, you know, Gloria Blaylock and various people, Linda Evans. She was helpful when I first started out doing Bessie Coleman. And like I say, Chauncey Spencer and my other mentor is, he has an aviation program in Los Angeles, and he had me come out and do a tribute for his organization, Robin Pettigrew, and he's been inspiring me and encouraging me as well. So I just want to thank everyone who has really been there for me. And I hope I don't let anybody down, and I hope I keep up the good work and do what God wants me to do, do what Aunt Bessie and my mother, and do what I think is the right thing to do.
Oh, and you will, because you've got that determination, and you will. You will not let Bessie Coleman go by the wayside. Because are there any other relatives that are helping you? You named off these different people, but is there any other relative that's helping you to continue with this or that helps perform with you?
Well, I always have encouragement of my, you know, Coleman family. One lady, too, I forgot to mention was Thelma Ruggett. She's very helpful. And Jackie Witters, she has a program in Denver, Colorado called the Fly Girls, and she's trying to keep Bessie Coleman's legacy alive. And my dream is to go to the White House and meet the president and his wife before they get out and take a picture of myself and my family in my costume of Aunt Bessie.
That would be wonderful. Yes, you must have that.
And I'd love for you, Miss Casey, to come and join us.
And believe me, I will be right there. I will be right there with my book in my hand and reciting, because it is about the history. It's a very important thing, which is one of the things that inspired me to write the book, because the very first black flight attendant that challenged this, took the airlines to court, was Patricia Edmiston Banks. And she is in New York and doing well. But she definitely is history. She is still a person that the world needs to know. And if it had not been for her, there would not be the very first flight attendant, because she opened the door. She took it to court. So there's a lot of history in aviation that people really do need to know. So we can't let that baton down. We have to continue to run with it and pass it on so that the legacy will live forever.
We do. And I do want to say 2015, Senator Thompson out of Orlando, Florida, she renamed Washington Street, which was the street of Aunt Bessie's church, Mount Zion, and it runs into a small airport. She named that Bessie Coleman Street. And I like to just acknowledge her on behalf of the family, that we really appreciate that. And then the San Diego Space and Air Museum, they honored Aunt Bessie and put her in their Hall of Fame, and I appreciate that. And hopefully I will be doing Bessie Coleman there, hopefully for Black History of Women's Month. And I've performed at Oshkosh, which is the second largest air show in the world. And I'm telling you, anybody who loves aviation buffs, is something to see. The blackbirds that they're flying is just wonderful. And I performed in their museum there, and it is something. And I just like to thank them for having me.
Exactly. Now, on your website, do you have any of your schedule, your speaking schedule, so when people go to your website, they'll be able to follow you?
Well, my husband, he's at the process of working on my website now, but you can always look on my Facebook, and I'll have my schedule there until my site is up, or they can email me or get information. They can always contact you and find out wherever I will be performing. Because hopefully, like I said, we'll be doing some things together. I know Delta Airlines is doing something on the 26th in Atlanta, honoring Bessie Coleman. I will be attending something there, but I won't be performing. It will just be a dedication.
And is that January the 26th?
That's February 26th.
February the 26th. Okay.
Yes, Delta Airlines. The person who's in charge of that is Maurice Jenkins, and he is the program manager of Global Diversity.
Okay.
So I'm very honored and excited that, you know, people, and then United, they were saying they would like me to come out. So it's just a blessing that doors are starting to open up and people are wanting to know about Bessie for Black History. Not taken away from anybody else with Black history. I mean, we know about Martin Luther King. We know about Rosa Parks. We know about a lot of other Blacks who have contributed so much, you know, Harriet Tubman and different things. But it's also good for the young people to know about other Blacks who have made contributions to American history and to let them see what other people have done as well.
Exactly. Well, as I said, aviation, definitely. It's a part of history that has been not fully developed or exposed to the world, and I'm so proud of you for doing it, and I look forward to it. I'm going to try to make the affair with you on February the 26th. So we will talk, we will discuss details on that after we get off the air. But I do know Maurice. Yes, I do know Maurice Jenkins and Miss Letty Ashworth, who is head is head of the diversity team. So that is really an honor for them to have asked you to come. And of course, my favorite airline, Delta Airlines, the best airline in the world. So I mean, I'm happy for that, because as you know, I did 35 years with Delta Airlines. So to me, it is definitely the best airline ever. So with that, my dear, now did you give your email address out? Can you give that one more time and say it slowly for us, please?
Okay. It's GIGI at flat, FLAT, WEB.com. And also, my website, I think it's going to be BessieColeman.net.
Okay, BessieColeman.net, okay.
Mm-hmm. BessieColeman.net.
Perfect. And then on my website, people will be able to go to it and be able to get some information. And so my website is theflygirl.com. And also you can go back and listen to this broadcast at any time, and you can tell your family and your friends so that we can always hear this wonderful interview with you anytime they please. So please pass that on to everyone. And as you said, and just in summing up the show, you're Bessie Coleman All-Star. At that point, when they email you, if there's any young person out there that would like more information, they could contact you on your email.
Yeah. And okay. I am just so excited, too, that OBAC is going to be here this year, and hopefully we'll be able to do something, because this is Aunt Bessie's 99th year of getting her pilot license coming up in April. So I'm excited about that as well.
And OBAP is the Black Pilots Association, and that is going to be a large convention. I believe it's in August. And
yes.
You and I both plan to be there. We're trying to work on some things. So for the audience that's listening, please keep that in mind, because that's going to be a wonderful, wonderful convention of Black of all the black men, black women in aviation. And it's really an exciting convention. I'm also a member of that organization.
Yes, it's a wonderful thing to see the men and the women with their pilots. It just makes you so proud. So proud.
Oh, I tell you, they are so handsome, men and women. They are just so handsome in that uniform. So with that being said, it's coming to an end of another wonderful show and another excellent guest. And I'm sure that my audience has learned an awful lot about the personal inside story of Betsy Coleman, who was definitely our hero. And you are my hero, Miss Gigi.
Thank you. And you are mine as well. Because you endured a lot, too, as being the first African-American flight attendant for a major airline.
Yeah, and as I say, I am among the first. The very first one with Delta Airlines is Patricia Murphy. And so she is definitely the very first flight attendant for Delta Airlines, and she was hired in 1966. So all of this history, all of the different things that I found, not the only important facts of aviation history, but a lot of wonderful facts is in my book, Stars in the Sky. And that is available Amazon, Kindle, and Barnes & Noble. So we hope to be getting your book out soon. So keep us updated on that, because that is definitely a book that I will be reading.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yes. So I have a wonderful day, and thank you so much for taking your time to be on the show and giving my audience all of this wonderful information. And you have a wonderful day.
Thank you, Miss. Thanks, Casey.
Oh, you were getting ready to end
you
the
too.
Show. You start the show with Miss Grant, and you're going to try to end the show with Miss Grant, right?
Yes, Miss Grant.
You are too funny.
Okay.
All right, my dear friend. I'm not going to call you Miss Coleman, but thank you so much, Gigi, for a great interview, and I will be talking to you soon.
Okay. Bye-bye. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Uh-huh. That was my friend, as I just said, Miss Betsy Coleman, and I just had we met. We hit it off, and we are just definitely looking forward to doing some wonderful things together and keeping the legacy of Betsy Coleman, the very first African-American woman to receive her pilot's license. And because of difficulties of achieving that in America, had to go to France. But you must read, you must know, and you must pass the word on about our legacy, the people that are so important, the black pioneers in aviation. So with that being said, I am going to sign off. For my weekly show, this is Casey Grant, and this is the Fly Girl Show. Please tell your family and your friends to tune in, or you may go on the Internet at any time and listen to past shows. I hope that you learned something from this show. I hope that it was interesting to you, and I hope that you will continue to tune in. Once again, this is the Fly Girl Show, and I am Casey Grant. And may you remember that your blessings are as numerous as the stars in the sky. Until next week, I am tuning off. Have a great day.